Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder. And MJ, we book a lot of different guests for our program here. And this is one when the idea first popped up, we said, we just got to do this.
You know, we're going to jump right in because there's so much to talk about, and I have so many questions.
And it's kind of scary, really.
It is. Listeners, our guest today on Faith in Action is Dr. Anne Hendershot, and she is a professor of sociology and director of the Veritas Center for the Ethics of Public Life at Franciscan University at Steubenville. Welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
You know, Anne, I was looking over your list of accomplishments, and you are well published, lots and lots of very interesting articles, and the subject of one of those that dates back quite significantly some time ago, but we do want to talk about something that was referred to in the news recently, the Catholic Spring. Before we get into that, Anne, tell our listeners a little bit about you personally, about where you're calling from, your family.
Oh, I'm happy to. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be on your show. It's a great show. I'm calling actually from Connecticut. My family and I have a weekend house here, and we're on fall break right now. It's Franciscan of Steubenville. Usually I'm in Steubenville, and I'm teaching sociology there. I have two grown children. Jonathan, who is now working as a consultant, just got out of the Army, so I'm very proud of him, and I'm happy he's in one piece after having spent some time in Iraq. And then a daughter named Heidi, and then who has a child named Luke. She and her husband have one grandchild. My husband and I live in Connecticut most of the time when I'm not at Franciscan.
God bless you. God bless you, and congratulations on the grandkids.
Thank you. Yeah, Luke, he's great.
Wonderful. You know, I did a little bit of digging after you were visited Al Cresta, talked with Al Cresta, and I have to honestly say this was kind of scary to me. But help our listeners to understand the concept of the Catholic Spring, or these fake Catholic groups, as it were, because they date back significantly.
10 years. Yeah. 10 years.
Yes.
Actually, a little more than 10 years. About 10 years ago, these groups, John Podesta, who we know is Hillary Clinton's campaign person here, helped to coordinate the creation of fake Catholic groups like the Catholic Voter Project. And now we have Catholic Vote. That's nothing to do with this. Catholic Vote is a good organization. But back in 2004, they created a fake group to convince Catholics that they should vote, that Catholics could, in good conscience, vote for the pro-abortion candidate, John Kerry at the time, because he would do more to reduce abortion than any pro-life candidate, because people get abortions because they're poor. That was his whole idea. That was their whole idea.
Right,
and as
right.
you know, John Kerry lost.
Right.
But they didn't totally disband. They kept going at it. They felt, in fact, they said, I have some quotes from the founders, their messaging work needed to be boosted. And so, by the next presidential election, they had regrouped and reformed themselves as Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good and the sister organization, Catholics United. Catholics in Alliance was a 501c3. And as you know, John Podesta creating that saying that it was a nonprofit, non-political, was always a lie.
Right.
And I'm not sure why the IRS isn't investigating him, but I certainly hope they will, and I'll be writing about that soon, because technically he committed a felony by creating a group for one purpose, which was to elect Democrats, and he admits that now because that's what the whole Catholic Spring is about, and I'll explain that in a minute. But then having the real purpose of saying that the real purpose was to support the bishops in their Catholics in public life. Because read the IRS documents, that's what they say. The Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good is an education kind of group that brings Catholic teaching into the public square. All sounds wonderful, but none of it was true, because the truth was, as John Podesta's own words said, they were going to be creating a group that would revolutionize the church and change the teachings of the church. And that's what a Catholic Spring is. If you remember the Middle Eastern Springs, remember we talked about all of those where they were going to overthrow their government.
Right.
They were talking about, overthrowing the teachings of the church.
Wow.
And that's what we as Catholics should be very concerned about.
And because
the whole idea was that Catholics need to demand an end to what they call a dictatorship and bring democracy and spring into the church, a spring, you know, opening the windows to allow for women priests, reproductive health, gender equality, blah, blah, blah.
Sure. And
so it was never intended to support the bishops. It was intended to really hollow out the church, not destroy the church. They like the church as a place to find voters, but they don't want the church's teaching.
Is there any
the short version of all of this?
And is there any way that you can think of that somebody stumbling onto these totally bogus groups might spot them? I mean, I'm thinking there's some rather casual Catholics that says, "Oh well, I found it on the website and it said this is okay or that's okay." How would a person know which ones are real and which ones are not?
Well, they were very successful, and that's a really good question, because they were very successful at convincing many Catholics, not me, but and not Bill Donahue, of what their real agenda was, because they sounded so good. They know how to talk Catholic, you know? Yeah. They were all really well-educated and ostensibly very Catholic people, saying that they support a seamless garment and they're in favor of pro-life, but they're just trying to convince us that don't vote for the pro-life candidate because that's not a good candidate. The real pro-life candidate is the one that promotes abortion. Now, how crazy is that?
You know, what's interesting is they were almost, listeners, if you're just now tuning in, Ann Hendershot is our guest today on Faith in Action. She's a professor of sociology and a director of the Veritas Center for Ethics of Public Life at Franciscan at Steubenville. You know, I was looking back through Googling some of this information way back to when Barack Obama was first running, and they almost presented him as pro-life, not really pro-life, but he was the lesser. He was going to diminish abortions. He was going
right.
to. So they were trying to convince the public at large, Catholics specifically, that he was almost pro-life. And now, when I think about it, when I was reading this article with 2016 lenses, my jaw dropped. Because I can't imagine, Anne, in any way, shape, or form, him being presented as almost pro-life to Catholics. And we were all, not we were all duped, many, many Catholics were duped because of the buzzwords that they were using.
Oh, they were really good. They were good. And that's why it was so frustrating for me, because even my family thought I was gone off the deep end, saying, they thought I was being paranoid when I said, no, they're not Catholic. I know they're not Catholic. And I have a bulletin board in my office that has all the arrows of where they got their funding from, people like George Soros and other atheists and other people who hate the Catholic Church giving money to a Catholic group. I don't think so. So that was my first clue. And my second clue was I knew who these players were. I knew who these people were. And none of them were pro-life people. They'd never been seen in the pro-life community. They've never really been. And they were all from union backgrounds, to tell you the truth. SEIU, AFL-CIO. Some of them did come through our own bishops, USCCB, Catholic Campaign for Human Development, which is something else we should probably talk about a little bit later, but I hate to trash a whole good program because there are some good parts of that program, just that some of the people that worked in it used it as a springboard to Democratic politics. But I don't know how anybody could ever have believed that Barack Obama was the pro-life candidate, except they did everything they could to convince us he was.
They certainly did.
They trotted out Catholic leaders like Doug Kamek, who was part of Catholics for Obama, who wrote a whole book, Can a Catholic Vote for Him? And he said, of course, because he'll do more to end abortion. Then Kamek got a nice ambassadorship in Malta that he only lasted a couple of years at, but that's a whole other story. You probably know that one. I don't want to slander him in any way.
You know, you are a font of information, Anne, and I wonder, you know, listeners that are just now tuning in, may be familiar with the original, you know, the Catholic Voting Project and talk about that. However, since the original organizations have morphed into other names, how do you keep ahead of this and avoid being taken in? I mean, you did say that you recognize the characters and so your ears perk up a little bit, but they keep changing the name.
They do, and that's how you know it's a new election year, because all the players move into a new organization, and now we have Faith in Public Life right now. And a lot of those players are from the CCHD. You know, the USCCB, John Gehring, who used to be at Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, moved over to Faith in Public Life. Funders are the same. The big funder for Faith in Public Life is George Soros, again, and some of the other big players, Arcus Foundation. So I just follow where the money's going and where the people are going. I pay very little attention to the names of them.
Oh, good.
So
that's smart.
What my arrows do is just follow the people. And so if John Podesta is connected, we know it's bad.
We know it's bad. You know, and on that note, Anne, we need to take a break, and we'll be back.
I've got the spirit.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo from Catholic Connection.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin, host of The Good Fight here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi, host of The Doctor Is In Here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta, and you can join me for Cresta in the Afternoon here on Catholic Radio Indy.
The best of EWTN plus great local programming. That's what you get when you support Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Anne Hendershot, Dr. Anne Hendershot, and she's a professor of sociology and a director at the Veritas Center for the Ethics of Public Life at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we're talking a little bit about the concept of the Catholic Spring, but basically how John Podesta, which is a name that we all recognize, and I want to talk about the players a little bit here, how he really has been able to and admitted that they were Catholic groups created to begin a progressive revolution in the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
Now, Anne, you have said that we don't need to pay much attention to the names because they do change, and they have changed.
The organization names change.
The organization names change, but we have to pay attention to the players. So give us some names. You've mentioned George Soros. Give us some names of people that we should be aware and perk up when these people pop up and start endorsing or talking about Catholic, and I use that in quotes, about who Catholics should be voting for, talking about, endorsing.
Well, I've been paying attention to these individuals at Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good. The founders of that were Alexia Kelly and a man named James Salt and Chris Corzine. They were some of the early leaders of this organization. Alexia Kelly works still in Catholic philanthropy. She's over at FADICA, which is a really big Catholic philanthropy. She's no longer associated with Catholics in Alliance, but she was certainly rewarded for her work at Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good by President Obama, who gave her a very plum assignment in the White House, in the Faith and Public Life office at the White House. So she did a good job. She absolutely did a good job. So she's kind of out of the picture, but she's still raising money over at FADICA. Other people from the Catholics in Alliance included people like, as I said, John Gehring, who came from the USCCB, Tom Shibolin, Francis Xavier Doyle, all came from the USCCB, and which is a concern because they knew exactly what they were getting into. They're on the board for that. Gehring is still very active in that. A lot of these people came through union areas like the SEIU. Tom Shibola, before he worked at while he worked at USCCB, was also the assistant to the president of the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. So when I see all of that, it just raises real red flags for me. Because if you look at the board of Catholics in Alliance, which is no longer on their website, you just see strong union ties and strong democratic ties. And they were very well connected. But they also tapped into universities. They used to study by a Notre Dame professor who tried to show that reducing poverty would reduce abortion. And it turned out to be a totally bogus study. He removed his name from it. One of the co-authors did. But it was up there in time. I mean, it stayed up there until Election Day, until President Obama was elected president. And then it came down because so many of us were saying, hey, this is bogus data. We know this is false. And they had to take it down. But it did the trick because it convinced people that, you know, oh, yeah, you're right. Catholics in Alliance is still in business, you know. I don't know if you know that.
Yes.
Their website is smaller, but they're still in business.
They're still in business. You know, I wonder, Dr. Hendershot, is all of this meant to influence the Catholic vote? Or is it to raise money? Or is it more diabolical even than that? I mean, do you think that the roots go further?
Well, I think it's very diabolical. I just do. I think John Podesta has been very diabolical in all of this. And I resent what he has done to this new initiative at Catholics in Alliance called Millennial.
Oh, yes, 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 yes,
yes. And they have put a lovely young man in charge of Millennial, who I think didn't quite know what he was getting into. Christopher Hale, his name is. He's young. He's a millennial. And I think he's well-intentioned, and I don't know that he knows the whole Catholic Spring thing. And he came out with a statement saying, I had nothing to do with the Catholic Spring. We just want to, you know, we just want to do good things.
Well, because, Anne, I mean, honestly, the terms like the common good, you know, are being tossed about. And you hear that, you know, Pope Francis talks about the common good. People talk about the common good. These fake groups talk about the common good. And millennials glom on to that.
And they love it.
It sounds
so nice.
It sounds so nice. And it sounds like, wait, this is the way Jesus was. This is what we
know.
I mean, come on, Anne. I mean, they're speaking the language.
It sounds so cruel.
It does.
Because they are young and they're idealistic. But they continue that misleading claim that they aim to move beyond partisan and ideological divisions. And that's a lie. Because if you look at the articles that come out of Millennial, none of them are saying good things about any Republican candidates for any office. None of them are saying we need to vote pro-life. They're all saying we need to vote for Democrats because they have a whole seamless Gorman thing.
Right. Just forget your morals, forget your ethics, and forget your religious stuff, and we'll get along just fine.
Exactly.
You know, Anne, I'm looking down through the list of things that you have written over a number of things, but you know what's interesting is we're talking about fake Catholic groups and the Catholic Spring. But actually, the idea of infiltrating the Catholic Church goes back many generations.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just talking about 10 years, and we're just not
talking about the 1940s and 50s. And
oh, sure.
Saul Alinsky infiltrated the Catholic Church in his Back of the Yards program, an initiative in Chicago in back of the, you know, the meatpacking area.
Sure.
The slaughterhouse area, and he used the church to his ends. That's how the Campaign for Human Development got started. So they have a very, very long history, and I'm just documenting the past 15 years or so.
You know, and what scares me the most about this whole concept that we're talking about is that it now has a name, and it seems like when you name something, it becomes an entity that exists on its own. And so when they take all these ideas and label it Catholic Spring, well, then all of a sudden Catholic Spring exists and people can talk about it. And
I know. This is really wonderful news for us, to tell you the truth. I am very grateful that this information came out, because sometimes you do feel a little paranoid, you know, because there are so many connections that I was making, but people were, you know, I don't know if I was compelling enough, but I've been writing about this for 12 years now. And I know that I probably got way too wrapped up in it, but I felt like that woman on Homeland, you know, oh no, this is connected. I know this is. These people are, and I would try to, you know, follow the IRS documents, because I'm really good at finding people's IRS forms and finding where they got their money and who's supporting who. But it was so frustrating because people just didn't want to believe this, because they seem like such nice people.
Well, and you're talking about the Catholic Church. I mean, it does sound like you are a conspiracy theorist person. Yes. When you say that, and when you mention the word infiltrating and
I
Catholic
know.
At the same time, it's like, well, wait, this sounds like, you know, Da Vinci Code-esque, you know?
I mean, I know.
But I am so tickled to be on the phone with you today, Dr. Ann Hendershot,
thank you.
Because this is when John Podesta, in his own words, admitted to creating these fake groups in order to start a revolution inside the Catholic Church. You had to sit back, and although being horrified at hearing this news, you had to sit back and say, there it is. There you have it.
I was actually very pleased to read it.
Yeah.
I was thrilled and got so many phone calls like, you were right. But I wasn't the only one. Archbishop Chaput, one of the most prescient bishops we have. He knew this. He had been visited by two of the Catholics United operatives. Now, Catholics United is the sister to Catholics in Alliance. They shared staff, and they paid each other out of each other's funds, because Catholics United was a 501c4, which means they couldn't, people could give them money, but they couldn't take it off their taxes. So they got paid out of the 501c3. Totally illegal. But nobody from the IRS seems to worry about that.
No.
They go after people like Bill Donahue at the IRS and me, because I was audited by the IRS, and I believe it was related to this.
Making too many waves, Anne. You were obviously making too many waves.
Oh, people didn't like me at all.
You know, Anne, I was going to say, and we're chatting with Dr. Anne Hendershot. She is a professor of sociology and director of the Veritas Center for the Ethics of Public Life at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we're talking about the Catholic Spring and really more about fake Catholic groups, how to identify them, what they have done. And, you know, this has been in the back of my mind the whole time I've been talking to you. You reminded me a little bit of my mother, because she was a little bit of a conspiracy theory person her whole life. She was the most,
like your mother.
She was the most well-read, brilliant woman I have ever known. But you know what she said when I said, well, how can you tell these things? How will you recognize, you know, she would talk about the Antichrist, you know, from time. How will you recognize it? And she said to me, stay close to the sacraments, because if you stay close to the sacraments, then you will be able to discern what is good and what is evil. And that, to me, listening to you, it just speaks volume, because I think being at Steubenville, which of course we know is the hotbed of moral, ethical, I mean, everything good that we hear comes out of Steubenville.
Well, our commitment to the pro-life cause is just, it's unequaled, I think. And I think you're right. Not that I'm so holy, because I'm not. I can be very mean to people, especially people like this. But I would love your mother, because I think she's absolutely right. Sometimes they really are out to destroy your church.
Sure.
You know? And you're not being paranoid to say that.
You're not, absolutely not. You know, Anne, we have just a little over a minute left, maybe a minute and a half left. And you are such a gem. You are such a gift to us, to Catholics. And I wonder if you would leave our listeners, if there's something that you would like to leave our listeners with. I wonder if you could point them in the right direction of suggestions for reading or nuggets that you could leave our listeners with.
Oh, prayer for sure. Because that's the only thing that has sustained me in these darker days, when even my family was thinking, why don't you just let this go? But sometimes you can't let these things go. And I think it's God that's pushing us into trying to find out where these attacks on our church are coming from. And they aren't going to stop just because we've identified a Catholic spring from John Podesta. They will continue. And Archbishop Chaput, we have to pray for our bishops, especially bishops like Archbishop Chaput. He knew exactly what these groups were, and he said it out loud. And I just wish more of our bishops were as courageous as that. So we have to pray for the courage of our bishops, because without them, we are alone. We need these shepherds. We're out here alone.
Amen.
And I just feel very grateful for people like Cardinal Burke and Archbishop Chaput, and Bishop Olmsted. I mean, I name them all in my book. I have a book called Renewal, how the Catholic Church is being revitalized by these kinds of courageous bishops. So that's who we have to pray for.
Okay, and let me put that out there. She is the co-author of Renewal, How a New Generation of Priests and Bishops Are Revitalizing the Church. Get that book. Get that book.
Thank you.
And read it, because we do need to pray. It is our greatest ally. God bless you, Dr. Anne Hendershot, for being our guest on Faith in Action.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.